Hello, Fizzy fam. Welcome back to Let's Get Fizzy Poll. I'm so excited. I'm here with Jem Dyer.
Hello.
And it's been a little while. It's been a minute since we've done an episode.
It's been a minute.
So
the world's had a bit on, I think.
What'd you say?
The world has had a bit on.
Yeah, the world's been a bit busy. Obviously, we are recording this episode via Zoom. Coming to you from a virtual space. Yeah. And you'd think that I would have been able to do more episodes because of isolation, but turns out having two toddlers running around doesn't make for a very quiet house.
I think every time I've called you, yep, no worries talking normally, and then, hey, don't do that.
I know. Story of my life. But I'm really excited for this episode because we've been in the isolation state and coronavirus, living with COVID for a bit now. And I think it's kind of, as difficult as it is, it's kind of become a new rhythm.
Mm.
Yeah. So today in this episode, Jem and I wanted to give you a bit of an update on what's happening with the studios and potentially like when things are reopening, which is so exciting.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
I know.
So good.
We had a franchise meeting this morning and you could just sort of feel that everyone was like, it's coming soon.
Yeah. Everybody looked great. I mean, usually everybody looks all right, but today I was like, why does everyone look so good? Much as the opportunities that are coming, maybe.
Yeah. So speaking of which, obviously with all of our studios being in different states, they're going to be on different timetables as to when things are going to be kicking off again, but it's sort of going to be happening in stages, maybe two Correct. Stages. Yeah. So
essentially all of our studios will get back once we're in stage two, and then stage two of that kind of roadmap plan that the government has is dependent on states as well. So each state will then, depending on current cases and potential community transmission, all of that sort of jazz, will then decide what stages and what timelines they will then be in. So SA, which is very exciting, will be back and be able to open the studio with still limited restrictions, but still be able to be open as of the 8th of June. So that is so soon. And yep. I just can't wait. It's just nice to have an exact date. Victoria's obviously a little bit different, up in the air at the moment.
Yeah, so Queensland, we're hoping, should follow pretty closely along behind South Australia. However, even though stage two allows us to get back in the studios and run them as usual, stage one actually allows us still to be running physical exercise classes outside. Mm-hmm. So you need to check with your studio if they are going to be running some of the casuals or some of the classes in an outdoor setting. It might be, you know, at a playground with a pole or monkey bars, things like that. So there's a little bit more flexibility in that stage one, but officially the studios can reopen properly from stage two, which they've sort of indicated that they want the economy back up and running, so all three stages by the end of July. So we're kind of hoping that even for Victoria, it'll be towards maybe the start or middle of July at the latest for stage two to come into effect. It might even be June. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could be towards the end of June, could be, we don't really know. But
if we all manifest it, surely the power in numbers, we should be back. Yeah.
We're going to make it happen.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. I'm just, even just SA coming back, it's just nice to have hope and to be, everybody I think is just so excited to get into the space, even with limitations, but just to be able to be open and just to be on the apparatuses again. I can't wait.
And some of the studios are running special sales at the moment because actually we can be open for retail, which we weren't 100% clear on, and we didn't want to do the wrong thing. So we were just sort of closed down, but we are in fact allowed to run the retail portion of the business. And Jem and I both run sales on the weekend, which we're going to do again next weekend. Yeah. But keep an eye out if your studio is going to run a sale, because you did a massive one. I mean, we did 35% off, but what was yours?
Yeah, we did 40% off for both Warney and Summers. And it was so great because everybody was just so excited to be getting like representation of Fizzy Polks. They're like, oh my God, I just can't wait. One of the girls actually who is pregnant, Pregnante. For anyone who's seen that funny meme thing, she wears her Fizzy Pride like black leggings. And she came in, she was like, no, I need another pair because I'm in them all the time. So she got another pair.
Oh my God.
I know. She's like, no, you don't understand. I wear them every day. So I need another pair.
And it's kind of getting to that time of year where you need your comfy stuff. So you want to get yourself like a hoodie and UGG boots and just a legging, like pretty much what we're all living in. Although today I am wearing jeans, and that is only because all my leggings are in the wash. So I might look all fancy today.
Just don't tell anybody that. No one will know.
No, I didn't. I haven't told anyone. It's just you and every listener.
That's so good. So yeah, it was just even so lovely to have students in the studio and just to, it's funny, people peeked their head into the aerial space and the pole space. They're like,
yeah, we had people like want to walk into the room and just be there, and other people just walk in and be like, I don't really care what I buy, I'm just here to spend money to support you guys.
And, oh my goodness. So beautiful and just nice to be able to see everybody in the flesh. So
yes, I walked in with a whole heap of stuff in my arms because Elle opened it up just before I got there, and then I came in and there were people in reception. They're like, I mean, we've got a pretty big reception area, but there were like five or six people in there, and I got teary because I was like, there's people in the
back. I know. It's been so crazy just getting into the studio and having nobody there and it being so quiet. So I've just had to like lock the door and then just turn the music up really loud because the space is so huge when there's only one person there.
So eerie. And I'm asking the wrong person this, but have you seen the movie I Am Legend?
Please, no. Is it a scary movie? Because I definitely haven't.
Yeah, it actually is. But a lot of people listening will have seen it. So if you guys have seen it, you know how Will Smith is like the only one in the entire city. And he puts all these like mannequins in the record shop and all the restaurants and things so that he can like go in and talk to them, pretend that he's got friends. So that's what we're going to have to do. We'll have to put like mannequins Penelope at the pole.
Penelope is the Ballarat Studios mannequin.
All the mannequins have names.
Yeah. What's yours? No, I don't have one at Summers. We don't have a big enough space, but the one in Warney is Gertrude.
Gertrude. I know. What's Robin's one called? Oh, she's going to kill me now. I can't remember, but most of the studios, well, you guys would know. If your studio has a mannequin, you would know its name. Penelope actually has her own Instagram account.
Penelope's a bit creepy. Every time I would walk into the old Ballarat studio, I'd actually, if I was there on my own or whatever, I'd be just in the corner of my eye, I'd be like, oh, Penelope, settle down.
Anyway, Penelope wasn't meant to be a feature on the podcast today. Yes. But here we are.
Good on her.
Good on her. One of the other things that is happening is that we're going to move the Ignite heat so that you guys have a bit more time. We don't know exactly when we're moving them to yet, but we sort of figured, number one, we didn't want to cancel them because we thought it would be a great way to have a goal in front of everybody coming out of isolation and getting back into things. So having something that you can, obviously, like, you may not want to enter Ignite, same as every year, to be competitive or not, but it is a really good opportunity to push yourself and upskill, you know, just set some goals to better yourself.
Oh, for sure. And even during this time, it's such a good time to actually work towards things that you wouldn't usually have the time to put as much work into the character side of your routine development, or even just the whole concept of your routine. It's so nice to actually have the time to sit down and think, oh, I could actually really develop this here and really develop this here, even if your studios aren't open yet to then work on obviously the tricks and the transitions. So it's good to be able to have the amount of time to actually focus on something that you wouldn't as much. So we're excited, yeah. excited to see all of the new concepts and ideas. So
yeah,
start working on it now because you've got a lot of time.
That's what I was going to say. If you were kind of thinking of it, even if you weren't, maybe this is a good chance, like, you know, isolation, you're not doing as many steps in the day as you usually would. And it might be the little kick up the butt that you need to kind of get things going again. And not that everyone's not going to be so excited to be back in the studio anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, good opportunity to get going. So that will be, we'll announce those dates probably in the next 4 weeks because we'll have a bit more of an idea of when things like public gatherings will be available to us again. So it will depend heavily on that, but we are trying to keep the finals booking, which was for October,
first week in September,
right. I don't know where I got October from.
That's right. We don't run the business, obviously. Yeah.
Celestia's got all the details. But speaking of isolation, like how have you found it, Jem?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. I felt like the first couple of weeks when we transitioned into isolation, I was highly motivated because I had just recently split up with Riley, my long-term partner, and so it was a big transition time for me, for him to, I was with him for the last 10 years essentially, and so that was a huge transition. But I kind of felt like, oh, this is my time, this is just solely me. And so I was running and exercising and doing everything that I wanted to be doing. And then kind of with the stress of the studios, was almost in a bit of denial to be like, no, everything will be fine. And then kind of went through a couple of stages, and then went through a stage where I was like, oh my God, imagine if we can't ever get the studios back until, you know, the end of the year, or, you know, we did the transition into the virtual classes. And that was a huge, big step for all of our staff. And obviously having so many staff across the two studios, it was a big gig. So the stresses of that was huge, and then kind of took a big toll on, oh, I've actually got so much work to do. All I can do is sit in front of my computer for 12 hours of the day and not exercise. And so I kind of went through a few stages of being highly motivated for physical activity. And then I was almost a bit scared to go into the studio. So I didn't even go into the studio to teach any of my classes for, I think, maybe 5 weeks, maybe four weeks. And so then going back into the studio, I did a training session, and it was like, it was unbelievable how much strength I had lost. Yeah. And so I had just kind of been like, oh, that's fine. This is where I'm at now. This is my starting point, and I'll just continue on. I'm not going to beat myself up about not being able to do things that I could do prior to all of this.
Yeah.
And kind of just allowed myself to be okay with, okay, I have had a stressful time, I have had a bit on, and now I can just start again and be back and be ready and raring to go. And then now I think that with the light at the end of the tunnel, I've got, again, hope to be like, oh, sweet, this is going to be so soon, and I just can't wait. So I think, and I mean, I was still obviously teaching classes, and all of our instructors have said this, that we've been so sore from teaching all of the classes, because generally we get, like, we will instruct and then we will spend a lot of the time spotting. So we won't get as much time actually, like, participating in all of the strength exercises and the training that you guys do in classes. And so it was really good. It was nice to then be teaching and be feeling, sore from the night of teaching. So whereas usually if we're teaching, we've done all of these moves and transitions and tricks hundreds of times, and so for us it doesn't take as big of a toll on our body. So I think, and then coming back to kind of now, I think I'm excited, I'm motivated, and I feel like I'm ready for everything to kick back on, and just to be so grateful to be able to get back into the space. And so, and especially knowing that obviously SA over here, we're one of the first to be able to do that and to just not take it for granted. And I even said in one of my live videos on our student group, I was like, I think maybe I'll just open the studio 24/7. And then I was like, no, I can't guarantee that, but maybe I will. Stay tuned. And then one of my receptionists commented on it saying, I will be available 24/7 to keep this open. You don't even need to pay me. Oh, I was like, good thing to support the cause. So yeah, I think that was kind of my transition. I did have lots of ups and downs, and even checking in with you a little bit along the way, I feel like it was a little bit similar with you. What about your, obviously you're in a very different position with the kids. Have you got eight kids now, is it?
Yeah, I think you described it perfectly. And regardless of if you're, you know, in your position, a studio owner or mine or anyone else's, I think we've all had like a roller coaster of emotions and really gone through the whole thing. Like there's been parts of it where I've thought, this is really great, I've got, you know, time to do this and that. And then, yeah, it was probably at the beginning, I think because of my role in the franchise, I felt that I really needed to be, I just didn't have time to get upset about it because I had to be so organized and in front of things with how we were going to do this. How are we even going to get online? And like, when does that look like? And how do I give, you know, the franchisees certainty that that then ripples through to the students about when we're doing things and what we're doing? And so that was fine at the beginning. And it was probably like a couple of weeks in, once everyone was in a bit of a rhythm of teaching their classes online and things were going okay. And it's, you know how you just kind of hold things up until everyone's all right and then you just go and have your little breakdown? That was me. And I had about 2 days where I just felt so sorry for myself. And, you know, had some alcohol, which definitely helped. Definitely didn't help.
Yeah, I have taken up drinking actually.
Yeah, I was in front of the TV like for most of those days, and I just kind of by the second day, I was like, this is not me at all. Like, I don't sit and woe is me and feel sorry for myself, and I just kind of had to, like, my mental strength is very good anyway. However, this situation has tested everyone more than any of us have probably been tested before in this way. Yeah. So I know that I already have a good base of mental strength to pull from, but I realized that I just needed to, you know, brush up on that, sharpen it up, make it stronger, because I know that, and I've spoken to some of the students who are, you know, dealing with pretty tough mental battles at the moment, you know, mental health issues that have been there in the past and they're amplified now because of this situation. Mm. And I truly sort of think that you can only really help yourself if you have a toolkit with the right tools to do that. And if you don't build up your toolkit, because it's not just going to be there, right? Mm. It's not just going to be there. If you have a toolkit that allows you to take control of whatever your mind is thinking and rein it back in and go, no, this is, I'm not going to sort of just let myself go down the rabbit hole. And that's what I did. I used the tools that I have to pull myself back together and to put a focus in front of myself. And then I decided that I was not just going to survive it, but I wanted to thrive from it. And so that made me start pursuing, you know, podcasts and audiobooks and things that I could learn from to build up my toolkit even further so that I'd have even more resources at my disposal to pull myself out of these crappy feelings. Mm. And I don't think that, you know, in the last episode, I spoke about the importance of routine and putting something in front of yourself that you have to do so that you've at least got some kind of focus or purpose during the day. But that's going to look different for everybody. And I don't think that the pressure, like what works for one person doesn't work for someone else.
Yeah, exactly right. I think, I think that's a really good way to explain it, the toolkit of actually being able to go, okay, I know that this tool will work exactly for what I'm doing, or at least be eligible to work for it.
Yes.
So that's a perfect analogy of actually, and I, when you were talking about that, I was actually envisioning just a little toolkit and I was like, oh yeah, beautiful. Okay, cool. I know that that works for that problem. And I know that this works for this problem. So
yeah. And
yeah, it's a good thing to kind of essentially visualize rather than having to be like, how am I going to get myself out of it? You can go, what tool am I going to use?
Yeah, exactly. And
which brings us.
Yeah, brings us to the book that I started listening to, which I am surprised I hadn't gotten around to listening to it sooner, because my partner Sam has listened to this book about 4 times. And yes, we're audiobook listeners. because of the kids, it's just, I love sitting down and reading, but if I didn't listen to books, I just wouldn't consume them in the same speed that I do, you know, if I didn't listen to them. So it's called Can't Hurt Me.
Yes.
And it's by a guy called David Goggins. Goggins. Now,
I feel like I know him so well now.
I know, right? Yeah. So I've finished it and I'm going to start listening to it again. And Jem is partway through the book. And we wanted to just kind of have some conversations about some of his concepts in this book, because they are really, really powerful. And if you can listen to it, I'd highly recommend it. So Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. Just listen to it.
Yeah, a little bit of the background on him essentially was just that he had a terrible upbringing, had a really crappy childhood, and then faced all of these roadblocks. And the whole thing about it was that he grew up and should have been just another statistic of just somebody that has just, you know, fallen down the rabbit hole and just followed. Exactly. And so he ended up having to work through all of these challenges and life events and things that had happened to him to then get to becoming a Navy SEAL. And then he's now into all of these ultra marathons and went through a lot of life changes to kind of get to where he is, and then has developed this whole big game plan essentially of how you can't hurt me. So
he just sort of didn't have that mindset naturally. Like he got to be, you know, 300 pounds. He would eat 12 donuts every day before breakfast. His breakfast was like 5 people's meals of just insane sort of amount of consumption. And he really lived a life that I think a lot of people do. They think that what's happening to them is out of their control and this is just how it is. And then he just kind of got this idea in his head that he wanted to become a Navy SEAL. And he went in and they were like, you need to lose, I can't remember what it was. It was like 100 pounds in 12 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
And
pass this, the test that he had to get through, that he had just cheated through high school his whole life.
Yeah, that's right. He was cheating on everything in his life.
Yeah. So he didn't even know didn't know whether he was going to be eligible to be able to pass this test and then lose all of this weight for the fitness assessment for it.
Yeah.
But, excuse me. So it's just so many challenges, and it's such an interesting read as well. And so the way that this came about was, I was on the phone to Christy last week and I said, yeah, how are you going? What have you been up to? Yeah, I've been pretty good. You know, the kids are doing this. Oh, I ran a half marathon the other day. And then we've been doing this. And I was like, what? Sorry, hold on. What? She's like, yeah, I did. Yeah, I ran. I've listened to this book and then I ran and I did 10Ks one day and I thought, oh, that wasn't too bad. What's a half marathon? And so I decided to do it the next day. And I was like, oh, well, if you've done that, now I've got to do it. And so, and so we were just talking about, you know, especially even just having an accountability buddy to be like, oh, well, okay, well, okay, well, now I've got to go and do that. And so we kind of had used, well, you definitely had used these tools in this book
to
help this, because as you said, you weren't a runner and you haven't
ever. I've never run long distance ever.
Yeah.
But and the whole thing that Goggins kind of, sorry to interrupt you, like his train of thought is that your body can do so much more than what your mind tells it that it can. If you can reprogram your mind, your body can just keep going. And I thought, well, that's an interesting concept. I've never been a runner. I wonder, I know that my mind is powerful anyway. I know that I have these, you know, the tools and the mental strength, but I was like, let me try and add some of these tools into that toolkit and see if I can go run a half marathon the day after I've run 10K without ever being a runner in not running shoes, mind you. and it was, I did it and it was fine. Like, it is amazing what you can unlock when you have the right keys.
Yeah. And even, I think like that was so incredible for me to hear from you, but obviously just being your friend for the last however many years, knowing that, a little bit of a background story, when Christy first said, I think I want to enter Australia's Got Talent, I said, oh, great. Congratulations on the win already. Because I knew that I just knew that you would be able to do it. And you're probably the only person in my life that I could say that about. So your mental strength already is this huge, your toolkit is the size of a house. And so anything that you haven't done before and isn't in your scope, essentially, like doing this half marathon, is just adding more tools to this toolkit. And so for you to say that was incredible for me to hear. And for me, it was a little bit easier because I know I had done a half marathon before. I trained for one a couple of years ago and that was okay. So it was a little bit easier for me to then go, I'll just do one tomorrow, even though I hadn't been running for the last month or so. And so, but the good thing was I hadn't even got through this whole book yet. But the good thing was, is that in my mind, I had known, oh, I've just got to do it. So that it's not like, it's not if, but when. And so I decided to do it, I think 2 days later. Mm-hmm. And so the good thing about it was I was listening to the book and he was just talking essentially about callousing your mind. So instead of being like, oh, okay, well, I'm in pain and I don't want to do this. I'm like, why did I decide to do this? You just know that pain, it ends at some point, as long as you can just get through wherever you need to get through. And say running this half marathon, if you're 10Ks in, you just go, oh, easy as, I've just got another 11Ks to go. And so you know that the pain will finish there.
Yeah.
Not 100% accurate because the next day your knees, you feel like you can't walk. But I think that was one of the really good points. And for me, something for me to be able to draw off. But then we have been just chatting off air about this. And I was saying that prior to this, I had thought to myself, oh, whoever the hell runs marathons, what's wrong with them? They've got to be psychos. Why would anyone ever want to put your body through that? And now my mindset has changed to, oh, my body will recover. It's my mind that I want to put through that. And so trying to build all of these little tools along the way. And in the book, it's so incredible because, and I haven't even got through all of it, but it's nice to be able to hear somebody that has come through all of this hardship and for him to be able to say, okay, well, this is doable. This is doable. I'm literally just I'm a man. I'm a man, the same as anybody else. And I can get through all of this.
Yeah. And the reason that he has these tools in his mind to get through to, you know, for the equivalent of me running a half marathon, the reason that you do those things, and you were saying like, who the hell runs a marathon? Like, this is crazy. And for me, it had nothing to do with the physical benefits of running a half marathon. It was actually about the cookie, which brings us on to our next concept. And it's all around basically any achievement or difficult thing that you overcome in your life becomes a cookie, which you put into a cookie jar in your mind. And whenever you come up against something that is difficult or challenges you, such as COVID-19, you can go into that cookie jar and you can take out a cookie and say, well, I've been able to do this in the past. So if I could do that, then I can do this. So the reason that we want to build up this toolkit, and yes, I know that I've developed mine, and it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't just happen. You can't just hope that you're mentally strong. You actually need to work on this. You need to listen to books that will give you ideas. You need to listen to podcasts. You need to talk to people that are of the same mindset and start to develop these tools yourself so that you can, yeah, have the tools to accomplish things that you never thought that you could do. And I'm sure everyone listening has something in mind that they did that they never thought they'd be able to do. And you put that cookie in the jar. And when I was running this half marathon, Jules, the radio presenter in Ballarat, she joined me for a bit of it. And she could tell, because it was towards the end, she could tell that my body was really starting to not cooperate. My knee was giving me trouble. My ankles were hurting. My lower back was hurting. And she was like, well, we can just walk for a bit if you want. And in my mind, I was like, no, because as soon as I stop, the pain will stop and I won't get the cookie. And because I had that concept in my mind, we came up to the last kilometer and I just sped off from her and I did it. My pace was like 4 minutes something. Like I did it so fast, the last bit of it. And she was like, Jesus, man, you were moving. And all I was thinking when I was running that fast was, I want this cookie. I want the cookie.
Yeah. That's so funny. I love that. And it's such a simple concept that I've never ever thought about before until, you know, listening to Goggins and trying to understand what he's gone through. And if somebody can go through everything that he's gone through and then to just be able to develop these simple tools to be able to be relatable to everyday people, and of course, not everyone wants to run a half marathon or wants to see if they can do that, but anything that you can substitute that for anything that you're trying to do in life and realize that if it's something that's physical, your mind is going to be the actual thing that's going to get you there rather than your body. I mean, your body will, and your body will always recover. So it will just be strengthening your mind and callousing your mind to actually get you there.
And he has an interesting thought that your mind has a governor on it, which is essentially like the part in a car that stops it going faster than what the car is meant to go. So the governor in your mind is basically your mind. When you start doing something that's uncomfortable, your body sends a message back up to your mind saying, hey, we don't like this. We've had enough. Let's stop. That's the governor. And you push yourself a bit further and your governor is still telling you the same thing. But his train of thought is that even when you think you're at that breaking point, that's still the governor just working and your body's actually only at about 40%. Mm-hmm. And if you can learn how to remove the governor, which is what I did for the half marathon, because I definitely wanted to stop before I did, you can unlock a whole nother level to yourself, which I just love this concept because that goes for everything. If you're doing strength reps in class, remove that governor, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's a nice thought to be aware of for when we actually are coming back to the studio, because your body will be like, wow, this does not feel good. And the sooner that you start to actually remove this governor, you'll be like, oh, well, okay, I did this yesterday, which means I can do the same amount plus more tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And so it's just so nice to be able to have these thought processes already in our brains.
Yep.
To be able to get back and just be ready to go.
And it's surprisingly so easy to add these tools to your mental toolkit. And for example, I did it with Riley yesterday. I said to her, I'm going for a run. Do you want to come? And she was like, yeah, I'll come for a run. And I know that she wants to do well at cross country at school because she made it into the, I can't remember what it was, but I think it was a 3K run and she made it in the top four, which they take on to the state level. And she made it into that and she wants to do well with it, but obviously she'll need to train because she's like, if you have seen my daughter, she's not even half the height of the other kids her age. She is so tiny. So her little legs are going two steps to everyone else's one. Anyway, so she said, I want to come for the run. And I said, well, I'm going for 10 kilometers, which now for me, I know because I've got the cookie of the 21, I could do 10K every day of the week. No worries, mate. But the first day that I did 10K, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, that was last couple of Ks was really hard. I don't know if I could have kept going after that. And yeah, it's amazing. So as we were running along, I was telling her about what was happening in her mind. And by the end of the run, she was like, oh, my ankles are complaining, which is like that they're sore. She wasn't saying I'm complaining. So she started to understand that because I said, is your mind telling you that you want to stop? And by the end of the run, she said, you told me that I'm the boss of my mind. So no, I'm going to keep going. And I couldn't believe how quickly, I mean, kids are like sponges and they do soak everything up. But if you listening as an adult or even a teenager or a child, like can understand that this is not something that you're born with. This is something that you train and add to your mind at your own will. This 8-year-old just ran 10 kilometers yesterday.
Mm. Mm. And it's crazy. And when you told me that, I was like, what do you mean? she's going to be a super child. Like, she's incredible. But that's a huge props to you for you to be able to have faith in her and her resilience to just be able to keep up and just be like, yeah, no worries, I'm coming. But so proud of her for her just to say,
my God.
Yeah, but no, that's just my mind. I'm in control of it now. Yeah. You've told me I can be. And no other 8-year-old would have said that. No, they would not know about any of that. So it's such a good thing to be able to bring her up in this world and this reality, essentially. So proud of you, little Riley.
Yes, you did an amazing job. So one of the other tools, and I think the last one that we'll talk about today from Goggins' book, is the accountability mirror. So, yes. Do you want to talk about that one a little bit?
Yeah, so essentially this was at the start of the book, and so he was essentially saying that all of these things had happened to him and he had kind of let himself go and he was fearful and he was copying all of this racism at school and he wanted to be, you know, the typical, he was stereotyped as the typical gangster, essentially. And so he himself knew he wasn't that, but fell into it because he was like, everybody's projecting this onto me, so I'm just going to do it, even though I deep down don't want to.
Mm.
And so there was one day when he was at his mum's house and just looked in the mirror essentially and really looked and realized exactly what other people saw of him and then decided to change. And so he was speaking out loud at this mirror and just essentially laid into himself. And
he decided it was going to be a no BS conversation.
Correct.
Like he just laid it all on the line.
Yeah. So 100% truthful and just essentially radical truth and was just talking to himself. And he said by the time that he just had let it all out and he wasn't even planning on doing this, it would have just all come flowing out.
Mm.
And so he had then decided that every time that he was in front of this mirror, he had to be 100% truthful.
Accountable. And he said, because he was failing school and a whole heap of other things. He'd obviously gotten up around 300 pounds and he just stood there and he was like, well, you're not failing school because you've been busy with this or that or whatever. Like, it's because you haven't put the effort in to do it. And he just stood there and he had this really direct conversation with himself. And that meant that every time he stood there and decided it was going to be the accountability mirror, he had to be honest with himself. And when I was in the studio the other day, I actually brought this up with the girls that were there. I said, how would you feel about me having a mirror like this in one of the bathroom stalls with a curtain across it? So that if you ever just want to have a real, in your mind, if or out loud, whatever, conversation with yourself, you can go into that stall, pull back the curtain and have the real conversation. And they loved it. They were like, yes. And the fact that it would be sort of out of the way, removed, not in your face all the time.
Yeah.
It would just be something if you want to access that tool, you can go and So I'm going to add that into one of the bathrooms.
Yeah, I love that. It's incredible. So, and it's just such a good thing because you, a lot of the time you don't face your fears and you don't, you just let things pass you by and go, oh, well, this happened to me because it's happened to me. It's not, hasn't happened for me. It hasn't happened because there's a reason or there's a lesson or there's something that I need to get from this to then be able to push further or be able to continue on and then use this as a tool to then overcome upcoming challenges. So that was a really good part of the book. I loved that. And he had come back to it and he was even saying about how just he had just shaved his head and he was just like fresh new change everything. Yeah. I want to look like how I want to be. And so not that it hit like a lot of his was about his appearance and about how he had actually physically let himself go, but then all of the changes he had spoken about was his mentality. And so, yeah, it was a really good part of the book. And I haven't even finished the whole book and I've just been so interested.
Well,
in
we'll
it,
have to do a follow-up episode because I think what we've given today is like heaps for everyone to start contemplating. And, you know, if this doesn't interest you, that's okay. There's no rule that says like you have to be doing this and adding these mental tools and whatever. But I can tell you what, life is a whole lot easier when you do have these tools at your disposal. So sure. I would love, love, love to hear any feedback about this episode and Jem as well. Like if you guys have any thoughts or you want to tell us your favorite bit or things that you liked, I think we should do another part two of this because once we finish it, I think there's going to be more things that we can pick up on, but I don't want to overwhelm everyone more than, you know, that what we've spoken about. So,
sure. So the book is Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, Goggins.
Yep. Get it on Audible or I guess any of the book platforms that you can buy audio books. And obviously you can buy the paperback copy as well, but I definitely find that it's an easy listen. Like you can listen while you're doing things.
Well, and the good thing about the audiobook is that he is actually in with the narrator. Is that how you say? Narrator, yeah. So they even chat about after the end of every chapter, they will chat about things that had gone on and Goggins will just be like, oh yeah, well, I couldn't fit all of this in there. So, and I couldn't explain all of this in the book. So this is a background story to this piece. And so
I definitely prefer the audiobook for that reason because it gives you even more detail.
Yeah, for sure.
So good. Mm. Yay. Well, I love this episode. Please share it. If you feel like, you know, you've got a friend, it doesn't even have to relate to Fizzy Pole, but if you've got someone who might benefit from this, please share it with them because, you know, at this sort of point in time, we're still heavily isolated and anything that will give people a bit more strength is always a welcome thing. So yeah. Anything you wanted to wrap up with, Jem?
No, I think that's about it. I think it's been perfect timing for me just in regards to especially us being in here in SA, you know, almost being able to be back in the studio. And so for me to kick myself a bit into gear and to hold myself accountable, but it's just been nice having somebody like you to have a little accountability buddy as well to be like, oh, you're doing that. All right, I'll do that. Or, hey, what are you doing? So it's been a really good time for me to, you know, first of all, understand Goggins and then to start reading his book. And so it's been, even if you're not into, you know, you're like, nah, my mind's real strong. The start of the book is actually such an interesting read with his childhood and everything. So,
Yeah, well, I can't wait for you to finish it and we will report back with part two. We'll record another episode because I think it's something that we can definitely keep talking about and get more out of it. So we will come back to you guys in the next episode and thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Let's get